Finding AI's place in education.
It provides the opportunity to experience new things, to explore new things, to, you know, have new hypotheticals, to be able to interact and engage with different things that you've never been able to do before.
The positives, the drawbacks of artificial intelligence today in the Upper Cumberland. Not many days go by where you don't hear the term artificial intelligence. Well, consider this. ChatGPT, which is the machine-powered language involved with artificial intelligence, set a record in January. The fastest user growth, 100 million active users, just 2 months after its launch. Artificial intelligence is here. As with most technologies, there are opportunities. There are also concerns about AI. Jason Beach is a Tennessee Tech professor who's looking at the way AI and other technologies impact education. He also helped lead a task force to define how AI can be used in higher education.
I often like to say, you know, it's back in the early 2000s when you watch the crime shows, you would hear about, we're going to write an algorithm to solve this problem. We're going to write an algorithm to solve this crime. It's kind of like how that's being used today. AI is a very broad term, but there's a lot of specificities to AI. But in general, AI is just a computer that's trying to replicate what humans do on a day-to-day basis. It's making predictions and being able to kind of solve problems.
How have we gotten to this point? Is it the hardware has gotten more sophisticated? Is it the software? Is it both? This is something more.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, access to high-speed internet has helped with data transfer. Obviously, for AI to make a good prediction, it has to have a good data set. So having a large data set of just any type of information you want to make a prediction off of is what's necessary and needed. It also requires a lot of energy, a lot of cycles to run AI. So a combination of advanced hardware, smaller chips that are more efficient and more powerful, more high-speed internet, and of course large data sets to make those predictions has kind of helped push AI to where it's at today.
We've thought for years that computers are thinking for us. But this, is it a different kind of thinking?
It is, to a point. You really have to kind of think about what actually is thinking, right? So if you're looking at any type of thing that a human would do, they're going to make a prediction based on previous experiences, right? So as a child, as you're growing up, you learn things that are hot and you learn things that are cold. And you learn that through experimentation. Well, AI is in that same boat. It's actually learning what is positive and what is negative. And we build systems to actually reinforce that. So just like in early childhood development, when we're working with children or working with young adults, or as they're growing up and maturing, we're teaching them what is good and what is not. Same thing with AI. You're training those models to actually have a good result versus a bad result. So really, you're just training the response based on that.
So the things that computers have done for years, you know, being able to calculate numbers or turn things on and off, that's really not the same as being able to predict things. That's kind of the difference?
Yeah, exactly. So with AI, when you think about AI in general terms, it's making a prediction based on what the prompt actually is. So I think the easiest way to think about AI for just most folks is any type of auto-completion in a Word document or in an email. As you're starting to write, it'll provide you with a suggestion of what you want to say. That's an example of AI in that it's predicting what you're asking it to do, and it's looking at the previous words. It'll actually look at specific words and realize, if I'm talking about dinner, then I'm going to propose times that are related to dinner, and those times are going to be related to around what time dinner typically takes place, you know, in this part of the world. So that's simply how it works, is it just looks at the information and makes predictions giving to you, and then you make your decision based off of that prediction.
So for someone like you that has spent so much of your life working in this field, is AI a neat addition? Is it a game changer?
I think it's a little bit of both. So my field a little bit is I'm in the College of Education. I've been at Tennessee Tech for 19 years. And what I really focus on is how to enhance human performance through the use of technology. So that's the area of education that I fall into. So a lot of my research is focused on virtual reality and immersive and XR environments. But obviously, AI is one of those additional fields that's kind of popped up here recently that's been very impactful in the world of education. I think it's going to be a huge game changer for us, especially as educators and future teachers and employers, companies, businesses, because you're going to have a system that's going to be able to help work along with an individual, an employee, or a student and help kind of fill in the gaps of necessary knowledge they need to be productive. So one example I like to use when I'm teaching this in class is, you know, order of operations, basic fundamental algebra. You have to know the order to solve the equation before you can go into advanced maths. Well, if a student misses a specific order in that order of operations, an AI-based system could recognize that and then give that student individual more support, more modules, more exercises, more homework related to those order of operations to fill that gap. So that student, when they're going through and they're taking these assignments and tests, they'll be able to actually be more efficient and be able to solve the problems correctly. So it provides individualized instruction to the individual, which is what we do in the classroom today. We really work hard to provide individual instruction. AI is just going to help streamline that process.
That's a good launching point for our next part of our conversation as we continue with Dr. Jason Beach from Tennessee Tech as we talk about artificial intelligence. Dr. Jason Beach from Tennessee Tech is with us. We were attending a recent Tennessee Tech Board of Trustees meeting, and the idea of AI came up, and it came up as part of policy in terms of cheating. And you could just kind of get the sense around the room, as many of us that are older, the thought was, okay, all this is a tool for cheating. True or false?
I mean, maybe, I guess, is probably the best answer. So I was very fortunate. The provost at Tennessee Tech University asked me to lead a AI task force last spring. So I was able to gather a variety of individuals across Tech's campus. So we included faculty from all different colleges. We included administrators from different areas. We included staff, clerical and support staff from different areas. And we also included students. And we created a task force in the spring to really look at what AI is and its impact. The nice thing about this is because this group was such a broad spectrum group, we had a lot of opportunity to talk about what does this mean for higher education? What does this mean for the individuals? We got to hear from the students and what they thought. And it was really interesting because a lot of the students had known about what AI is, but they didn't really know like what it actually was. They couldn't explain how it worked, but they knew what it was. And then some of the members from the students who were on the committee had no idea what AI was. So we had a good broad spectrum. It was the same thing with the faculty. We had faculty who were aware of it. We had faculty on our committee that actually do research currently on AI. And then we had faculty who, I mean, even stated, I don't even know why I'm on this committee because I have no idea what AI is. But the purpose was to have a broad spectrum of understanding of what AI is so we can have a really good results from the task force. So a lot of students, as you can imagine, they were very worried that the faculty would think that any type of exemplar activity they would turn in could be considered as cheating because, as you know, AI does a really good job at grammar and mechanics and those types of things. It makes a paper look almost perfect when you submit it. So a lot of students were worried that if they put a lot of extra hard work into something that this faculty member may say, oh, they're automatically cheating. Well, as you can imagine, the converse was the same. The faculty member were worried that students would be submitting materials that were cheating. I think having those groups together and everybody talking, kind of sharing what their anxieties were really helped kind of cool down the temperature a little bit so we can really focus on some good paths forward. So what we did through that task force is we developed 3 syllabi statements. And the syllabi statements really focus on different uses of AI in the classroom. So the first one, basically in general, says open use of AI. You can do whatever you want to with it. And again, this is all at the faculty discretion. And that's typically how universities work in that faculty get to determine, you know, what's the best way to approach this content in their class. Because in some cases, if I'm teaching a very intro-level course and I need to make sure my students have a foundational knowledge of something, I'm going to approach that in a different way than if I was teaching a senior-level course where my students have been, you know, discussing this for quite a while and they're at more of a higher-level understanding of the course. So we wanted to make sure that the faculty, that we're able to have AI, you know, policies that were beneficial to them. So the first AI, as I said, open use. Anybody can use AI for any assignment or anything along those lines. The middle of the road was some assignments can be used for AI and some are not. And those, again, are at the discretion and are identified at the beginning of the semester by the faculty member. And then the last one was obviously no AI use. So, again, just those 3 different levels of policy statements that we put in our syllabi helped really let the faculty know what they expected from the students. But more importantly, let the students know what they could use AI for in the classroom. And it wasn't something that was just hidden or a mystery. It was very well stated at the beginning of the semester. So that helped ease a lot of anxiety across campus. The other thing that we did is we did update our academic misconduct policy. We did change that. We had to do an out-of-cycle adjustment to that. The president had to sign off on it because it was out of cycle. But basically, it included language related to AI. So in general, submitting AI work that you're claiming as your own would consider, which be you know, considered as academic, you know, misconduct or academic dishonesty. A lot of folks tend to think about AI and they confuse it with plagiarism, and it's not the same thing. So AI generates new material each time you ask a prompt, okay? So if I ask you to write a paper, it's going to generate a brand new paper that's not been written before. Plagiarism is the opposite of that. It's you're taking somebody else's work that's been written and you're citing it as your own and using it as your own and then laying claim to it. So what the policy difference is that saying whenever you're doing something with AI, you have to reference that you've used AI versus just like you would reference technology.
All right, so let me stop you.
Okay,
so
sure.
Let's say that I had a class assignment to write a paper about hurricanes.
Sure.
Could I go to AI and say, prepare a 3-page paper on hurricanes?
Absolutely. It would spit out or generate out a 3-page paper based on the parameters or prompts that you asked it about hurricanes. Now, I will say you've got to be very careful because the data that it pulls is not always true or accurate. And that gets into the other side of AI is the ethics side of thing, which a lot of people don't really talk about. So, but yes, to your point, yes, I can say write a 3-page paper on AI or on hurricanes, and AI would be able to do that. I've actually worked with faculty last year where a student, they were aware that this student had used AI. And the reason they were aware is because they've had writing samples from this student for several years because this student has been moving through the program. And obviously this sample that they submitted was way different than what they've been able to do before. So there was some very, obviously there were some conversations that took place between the faculty and the student. But again, you can ask AI to write a paper on anything, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the paper is going to be true or accurate. There could be a lot of falsities in that. Now, what AI is really good at, it's really good at writing things that are very convincing, you know? So it can write it such that, it would be able to explain a concept, even though it's not true, it would write it in such a way that you would believe that it would be true. It would cite some facts or something along those lines. And in some cases, those facts are actually correct. In other cases, they're made up. So you've got to be really careful with AI. That's the term that they're using for that is called hallucination. So when AI actually hallucinates and starts adding or ad-libbing things, so you got to be careful about that. But in general, yes, AI, whatever you ask it to do, for the most part, it will do that. Now, with that being said, companies who are pushing AI out, these private companies that are doing this, they've been very, very close-fisted on what they're allowing AI to do. Because as you can imagine, AI can do some pretty powerful things that could confuse people or maybe give people the wrong impression of what's actually happening. AI is just not in written text, which we've been talking about, but you can use AI to make movies. You can make, and that was a little bit about what the writer strike was about. You can use AI to make commercials. You can use AI to simulate drone footage. And all you have to do is just write that prompt in. So the companies that are investing in AI, they're using AI, they're really just giving us a drop from the faucet of what AI can do, and they're holding back the actual full force of what AI can actually do.
Which I'm not a conspiracy theory, but I have to say, it's a little scary, isn't it?
It is.
This in the wrong hands.
Absolutely. And I think
political world tensions.
Sure. And that's why I believe these companies are being so so guarded on what they're allowing AI to be able to do for the general public. Now, there are situations where they've allowed individuals who are vetted to be able to experiment with these tools. But for the most part, what the average consumer has, it's very, very restrictive. And again, I use the analogy of just a water drip from your faucet. That's what we get. But the actual power of AI is really the fire hydrant that's being fully opened. I mean, there's a lot of power there. But again, these companies are being very, very smart in that not letting all of that go. Because as you just mentioned, you can make a video that would really mislead people.
Tennessee Tech's Dr. Jason Beach is our guest. I'm sure someone is listening to our conversation as we talk about artificial intelligence with Dr. Jason Beach from Tennessee Tech and saying, okay, I keep hearing AI, do I have AI on my phone? Do I have AI on my computer, on my laptop, on my tablet? Is it something you buy? Is it something that's there? Where is it?
Yeah, that's a great question because, again, AI is a broad term, like I've already mentioned. So if you use any type of voice assistant, that's an example of AI. It's making it predictions and those types of things. So any type of voice assistant, if you have any smart devices in your house, it's utilizing some sort of AI to be able to make those predictions. So for example, you know, we have Alexa-enabled smart switches in our home. So it notices that we turn off the lights at 9 o'clock every night and to watch TV. So it gives me a prompt and says, hey, would you like me to automate this process for you since I've noticed you've turned the lights off at 9 o'clock every night? That's an example of an AI in your daily life. So yeah, AI is throughout. I mean, our daily life, it's becoming less and less of an opportunity for AI not to be part of your life, just depending on all the options you have. So,
but in terms of a prompt,
yeah,
you know, if I want to do some of these things we've talked about doing, is that as near as the internet?
Yeah. So just having a good connection to the internet, access to a browser and just, you know, having access to Microsoft's Edge browser. ChatGPT is actually built into that. So they actually have, if you'll notice when you do a type at the very top, it'll start generating a response. You can choose to ignore that and look at the rest of the links below that. But that's utilizing ChatGPT. Microsoft has purchased a big chunk of the OpenAI, stock. And so they're really investing heavy into OpenAI, which is the company that runs ChatGPT, which most people typically think about. When you think about AI, they typically hear the word ChatGPT, ChatGPT 3, 3.5, 4. The company that's running it is OpenAI, and a lot of companies are actually utilizing that. So Microsoft has, like I said, already got a big chunk of that and a variety of other companies as well.
Next week, our conversation continues with Tennessee Tech professor Jason Beach as we explore other technologies and how they can impact education. Thanks for being with us.